This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong, and you tune in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. This week on the program, very special episode to venture out of the country to Germany, the city of Hamburg, and the story of football club FC St. Pauli and its cult following. As part of a journalist exchange program, we explored the mystique of the Bundesliga 2 side with no major titles to its name and with only 8 seasons in the top flight. However, interestingly, still have a loyal fan base around the world. This is BFM's very own Ali Johan with the story.
So in November last year, I was selected to go to Berlin, Germany to work at a radio station there. They're called Radio Eins and they're based in Potsdam, just outside of Berlin. And this was part of a program initiated by the Goethe Institute Malaysia. It's a journalist exchange thing, which also had a Radio Eins counterpart work with us at BFM for 1 month.
In wenigen Sekunden ist es genau 15 Uhr. Radio Eins vom RBB. Nachrichten.
So because I was in Germany, and as you know, I'm active in the local independent music scene,
yep.
I've always been fascinated with the football fans of a certain FC St. Pauli, a club in Hamburg, and they're currently playing in this German second division. The club's very popular with the punks and left-leaning activists here in Malaysia. In fact, punks everywhere in the world revere St. Pauli because of their ethos, anti-fascist, anti-racist, very politically and culturally aware. They're big on social activism, equal rights, and generally just challenging the society's status quo. And I think they're probably one of the earliest groups of football fans around the world to champion these causes in the first place. And I hope it's not too big a critic to say that the quality of football that the club plays is not like the rest of the German clubs that we've come to know. You know, the Bayern Munich, the Dortmunds, and the mechanical brilliance of their national team. But that's precisely why I wanted to go over there to see for myself and speak to some local fans of FC St. Pauli to know more about the values in supporting a club of that stature. It was really not about the football, but the social construct that surrounded the very ground that the club stood on.
Interesting. You said you were based in Berlin, but St. Pauli are a team in Hamburg.
Yeah. So I hopped on a train to Hamburg. I spent a couple of nights there in hopes of getting an interview with anyone who's a local St. Pauli fan. And when I got to Hamburg, I decided to head straight to the St. Pauli quarter.
Nächster Halt, St. Pauli. Ausstieg links.
I asked around for directions to the stadium. They play their home games at the Millenthor Stadion, which is just a straight walk down on Budapester Straße next to the St. Pauli U-Bahn train stop. Arrived at the stadium, I walked into the management office.
Straight up.
To ask, yes, to speak to a club representative. And I managed to score an interview with the club's head of security and events management.
My name is Sven Brooks. I'm working here for the FC St. Pauli for 29 years now. I've started as the first supporters liaison officer in 1989. I did this for 8.5 years, and since 1998, I'm responsible for the whole organization around the home matches, including match organization, security staff, supporters, themes, and so on.
So I spoke to Sven about some of the values of the club's ultras and also the club's management itself. You know, for instance, they've got a big banner in the stands that says, no human is illegal, no football for fascists. And also one banner in tribute to our own Malaysian punk venue, Rumah Api.
Nice.
But more on that later. So Sven was extremely kind in spending some time to speak to me.
I think most of our fans don't follow the club due to the sporting success, because we have never won anything except from an indoor tournament in the winter break or stuff like that. So we are still a small club and we don't play Champions League or stuff like that. We are most of the time in the second German division. But there's some more things around the club and inside the clubs which makes the fans feel home here. That means it's always sold out, so our stadium has a capacity of 30,000 and almost all the matches are sold out. And most of the time we play really crap football. So in this season it's going well, but last season it was really hard, but also always the fans are coming. And it must have something to do with all the ethos around the club. So we have been the first club or the first supporters. When I was a young boy, we were the generation who started all this stuff in the club. That means we have been the first fans in Germany who stood up against racism, hooliganism, fascism, homophobia, stuff like that. And at this time, 25, 30 years ago, it was absolutely new, because all the football scenes in Germany, even in Europe, were dominated by strong right-wing groups and Nazis and stuff like that. And we have been the first one who said, no, we are against this, and we'll work against them with on different ways. So working inside the ground and producing supporters magazines and leafletting and also on the streets.
So in a way, you guys got together to push forward a positive message in humanity in general. How were the reactions initially when you started trying to, you know, make everyone believe in this mentality?
Yeah, it's a crazy story, because when we started all this, all the big bosses of football business said, you are the enemies of the football, you bring politics into football. And we said, wow, that's because the Nazis are already there with Sieg Heil and everything. This is politics, so we are just against this kind of politics. So that's stupid. Of course, we were right. Nowadays, all the clubs and the football association are saying the same as we did 30 years ago. So being against Nazis and all these things, doing corporate society things, and we are responsible for the surrounding areas and so on, is now a common thing everywhere. Yeah, but we have been the first.
The reach of St. Pauli's ideas have gone through the entire world now. People all around the world, whether or not you're connected to the hardcore and punk scene, you just know that St. Pauli fans are some of the most passionate people in a city. You now have like, what, 20-odd thousand fan clubs out there from different countries. How do you make sure that the fans of these other clubs outside of St. Pauli are in line with what you guys put forward?
Our supporters are organized in supporters clubs everywhere, and they elect their leading persons of this organization. And when there is trouble with one fan club, for example, someone writes us, look, there's a fan club, they are doing any I don't know.
For instance, they're homophobes in a fan club.
For example, stuff like that. Then other supporters who are elected in the board, they will look after it and talk to them. And if it's true, they will them kick out. So there will be no fan club listed in the official supporters clubs, which is bad behavior, mm-hmm. Like a social control inside the supporters. Mm. Yeah.
So people are passionate, fans from outside the country even, who've come here for matches. And sometimes the sheer numbers seem, the situations before a match, it could be kind of rough. Tell me the vibe of a match day.
It depends on which team is the other team. So most of the matches are normal. It's nothing
it's
around.
The
people come and they will have a beer together with fans from the other team. If they are around in the area, it should be no problem. But if the other team has a right-wing following, or it's a local derby against the other Hamburg club, stuff like that, then it's football, rough on the streets. It can happen, of course.
Anything with passion, you think, is kind of aggressive?
No, but that is a myth. St. Pauli supporters are always peaceful and stuff like that. No. For example, when the St. Pauli fans started fighting against racism and stuff in the 80s, it was not peaceful, because you can't go to a Nazi saying, oh, please go, and then he goes. No, he will not go. You have to tell him to go. And different ways, whatever. But the former supporter scenes in the 80s were strong enough to do this in different ways. Not only violent, but sometimes it was violent.
Right. Yeah. So you guys have come a long way. I mean, it may have started, rather aggressively, and you've been around 30 years, Sven. Can you tell me some highlights of your time here as a fan?
As a fan, the first festival here in the stadium, the Viva San Pauli Music Festival in 1991. It was the first one. As a supporting thing for the squads in the Hafenstrasse, that was really great, with 15,000 people listening to big bands and getting money and stuff. That was a big thing. Also the big music festival for our 100 year anniversary, that was great, and a lot of big victories and getting nearly bankrupt, and all the supporters helped us, and even all the people living in the area had a lot of solidarity activities, like drinking for St. Pauli, that 50 cents from each beer goes to the club, and stuff like that. It was good for the heart and so on. Mm-hmm. And also, like you said, all the new contacts all over the world. I remember when we did the first tours to Great Britain and get our first friends in 1990, 1991, still existing until now, all the connections to Glasgow Celtic, going with them to European matches. Now the younger ultras, they have friends in Greece and Italy and Spain, whatever. So it's always great what a normal guy will never have the experiences.
One final word about St. Pauli fans to you.
I think the most important thing is sometimes we have trouble, this opinion against that opinion, but at the end we must stay as a family with one big thing in front, supporting the team, stay strong for things like anti-fascism and stuff like that. That's fine.
That was Ali Johan speaking to Sven Brooks, FC St. Pauli's head of security. Coming up, more from Ali and the story of the football club. Stick around, this is Panan on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong, and you're locked into Panan, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Today on the program, we've been exploring the football culture of FC St. Pauli, a club that's not so much known for its football prowess, but one that's revered for their ethos of left-wing activism, punk sensibilities, and love for DIY culture. BFM's Ali Johan paid a visit to the German football club as part of a journalist exchange program with Radio Eins, and just had a conversation with Sven Brooks, the head of security at FC St. Pauli. Here's the continuation of his journey.
After the interview, Sven Brooks took me on a tour of the Milan Tor. It was a Friday afternoon, so not a game day, obviously. So he took some time to take me around the place. And the stadium was much like many stadiums in Europe. The stands were very close to the pitch. You know, unlike the stadiums we have here in this region, where there's that distance broken by the running tracks, right? Mm. But what really blew my mind were the other amenities inside the Milan Tor. For one, there was Vica Con Agua. This is an internationally operating non-profit organization whose objectives are to improve the supply of clean drinking water. And they work with countries like Uganda and Mozambique, providing clean water for the villages there. And I was also taken to see a jamming studio specifically for the children from the St. Pauli Quarter. This one really blew my mind. The studio had a window that looked out to the field, and also it had a Levi's emblem on the door. So maybe it's a sponsored thing, but a jam studio inside the stadium.
This sounds like more than just a home for football.
Precisely. The focus of the pitch is really quite extraordinary. It makes you forget about how the football team is doing. For the record, they finished 9th in the second division last season, and now they're currently 5th in this current season. And newsflash, the club just recently terminated the contract of one Turkish player in the team following an Instagram post supporting his country's military actions on Kurdish-held regions in Syria. Mm. That's how woke the club is.
Antifa!
Let's bring back home. You mentioned about the club's fans that gave support to Malaysian punk counterparts. What's that about?
So this happened a couple years ago. KL punk venue Rumah Api were raided by the police. Gig goers were locked up. And in light of that, punks from around the world voiced their support in terms of giving donations and solidarity movements. And St. Pauli fans also joined in with one of their own. They produced a banner that they hung in the stands of the Millenthor Stadium in solidarity with the plight of Rumah Api. So I connected with the guy who made this banner, wow. Ruben. He's a local St. Pauli lad who've been to Rumah Api and have made friends with the local scenesters ever since. So after my interview and the tour of the stadium with Sven Brooks, I headed down to Jolly Roger Bar. This is where the home fans station themselves before heading to home games. And it looked every bit like any punk venues you find in the world. Walls of stickers, band logos from everywhere around the world, and of course, FC St. Pauli emblems covering every inch of the entrance door. And I stepped in to find out why and how this St. Pauli fan in Germany made the solidarity banner, and also to get him to describe me the vibe of a home game around the area.
Okay, I'm Ruben. I live in Hamburg now for 10 years again. I work for a big customer service company, and yeah, I live in St. Pauli and a big fan of the football club St. Pauli.
Right, so you must have grown up watching the football club. We all know St. Pauli plays second division football and they're not the best in terms of doing things on the pitch. But off the pitch, the movements and the campaigns that the fans have done have been very glorious around the world. People are celebrating what St. Pauli have done. How do you feel about being part of that?
It's a big part of to be a fan of St. Pauli for me. Also, if I start when I was younger, it's like I was 11, 12 years old. I find punk rock for me, and also then I was interested in football, and I was, from my opinion, very left wing, and so I saw St. Pauli and they're different, because in that days there was a lot of right wing fans and hooligans in German football, and so yeah, it was some of the parts to make the decision to for St. Pauli as a football club.
It seems that the fans care more about things outside of the football. They care more about the society and the community around it. How do you relate the sports and the people?
Yeah, I also think so. It's more about the community, the quarter we live in, the things we do, some donation things, charity things. Yeah, we all go to the football club and we're watching the game, but most of us don't care so much if we play first league or second league. It's more the family feeling.
Right, we're here right now in Jolly Roger, the fans bar of FC St. Pauli, and people come here before home matches and come back here after the game. What can you tell me about your history with this bar?
I live very nearby, it's like 30 meters, so I be very often here, and yeah, on match day every time. So we are here like 2 or 3 hours before the match, the party starts in Jolly Roger, and yeah, after the game it goes till like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And also when they play not in Hamburg, a lot of people come here to watch the game on television. And yeah, we party and it's good. It's a very nice place for us.
Nice. Does it get violent?
Yeah, not inside. Sometimes there's a fight between two people, but no big fights or things like that. Normally don't inside the bar and not with each other. Sometimes, okay, which age is we, but this is another problem in this town.
Yes, that's the big rivalry between Hamburg and St. Pauli. And now Hamburg are in the second division.
Yeah, they got much more money. They got a much more better team and play every time first league, but now they are down, so their last argument they have to say we are better than St. Pauli is gone, because they are also down.
Take it to your time in Kuala Lumpur. You went to visit our punk venue in Ampang Rumah Api. What did you think about that venue when you first stepped in?
Oh, when I first stepped to Rumah Api, I was totally excited. It was a little bit like in Germany 25 years ago. When I was young, I come there and I feel like I was 16 again, something like that. It was a little bit rotten and dirty and everything, but I like it. It was totally, and I saw it the first time in Asia, a place like this, where you can be whatever you want to be, and no one judge you about this.
A couple of years ago, there was a raid at that venue. Basically, the place was almost forced to shut because of this raid. The fans of Sanpaoli, yourself, have done a banner to say "Bebaskan Rumah Api, Free Rumah Api," and you hung it during a match in the Milan Tor Stadium.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, because a friend of mine from KL, Assam, he always gets locked up at this rate after that, and then days after this, he write me a text on Facebook and said, okay, Rumah Api maybe goes close down and some of our guys get locked up and things like that. And then we think, okay, we have to do some solidarity with this place because it's a very rare place. And I think these are very important places, especially for younger people. They're more individual and find themselves, and they need places like this. So we said, okay, we make the decision, we make a big banner for Rumah Api so it goes viral and maybe a lot of people see this.
What do you think is the value of solidarity movements, even though you don't belong to that particular city?
I think we have to stick together worldwide. Most of the governments worldwide are more nationalist governments or more or less right-wing governments. Though I think it's very important for us to help each other out and to show solidarity not only in our own countries, because we have to do it worldwide. That's the way against racism and nationalism.
Tell me about that banner that you made.
Also, another friend of mine, Gigi, he's also from KL. We write the text and we say, okay, we want to make a banner to show it in the stadium. Can you say, how is it in Malay? And he sent us the text. And I was together with the other guy, Kesa, was a friend of mine, in the room of our ultras. They say we can do it there because it's enough space and they have all the materials and everything. And yeah, we go there some afternoon and we do it. We have to do something for our friends in Malay.
Did it achieve anything?
Yeah, the picture was, there was a little sign after this from Rumah Api showing all the solidarity things, and there was a picture inside from us, and Assam also write a little text for this. And yeah, we are very lucky to find us inside these. It's cool. Yeah,
that's great. So in your time in Malaysia, and obviously you come from a very musical city, Hamburg is such a place with lots of venues and lots of bands are coming through. Punk rock is a big thing here. Actually, any kind of music is big in Hamburg. Your impression of the Malaysian punk scene?
I think it's smaller, for sure. But I was also in Georgetown and saw a concert with Min, Rip, my best friend, sorry. And Ipo, we was at a show with Street Boundaries in a little studio. It was crazy. People were there, everyone bar-feeded, and they party hard, like 50 people in a little room. And there was a time 20 people was away, and I think, well, they are. Hey, and they was praying in another room, but nobody talked about this. For everyone, it's free to do it or to do it not. You can wear a hijab, you can don't wear a hijab, and no one judge you. And I think this is very the core, or should be the core of the left wing and of the subculture. Be whatever you want to be. If you don't harm other people, it's okay.
So that was Ruben Poliana, who kindly agreed to meet me to tell his story of the Bebaskan Rumah Api banner that he and his friends hung in the stands of the St. Pauli Stadium in solidarity with his Malaysian counterparts.
It's quite amazing how music fans connect throughout the world, and in this case, through the commonalities of FC St. Pauli.
Yeah, that really blew my mind. I mean, the Malaysia-Germany connection made perfect sense to me. For the longest time, I had been seeing the skull and crossbones logo of St. Pauli in many punk venues in this region, and I always wondered why, but after talking to Sven and to Ruben, I truly feel the connection, and it feels good to share this story with our listeners.
Many thanks to BFM's very own Ali Johan for the story of FC St. Pauli and its cult following. If you'd like to revisit the story again, good news, you can. Just head over to our website, www.bfm.my/barnone. If you'd like to get in touch with us, do tweet us at BFM Radio. And also don't forget that our BFM app will be available for free on Google Play and the App Store. My name's Daryl Ong. Thanks for tuning in and join us again on Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world, only here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.